Well, looky here. Hello, everybody. Guys, welcome to session number 193. And I don't know if you guys know the numerical value and what God speaks through the number 193. One of the first things I would say is Psalms 19, verse 3. I love Psalms 19. Yeah, I run on. So Psalms 19, you guys know Psalms 19, right? The whole sun, moon, star things, right? So I would say that. I would also say the ancients and the scribes, they had this thing about, 193 means the pigs are loose in the kitchen. That's not what they mean. I'm sorry, guys. Just thought I'd bust that out. I don't even think they legally spoke about pigs because they were kosher. How are you doing, Pastor AJ? You're doing okay.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what I'm talking about. Guys, I see we have a whole bunch of people that have joined us, and it's good to have everybody here. Guys, welcome, guys, to The Prophetic Life, and this is my private community. And if you're like brand new and like, you guys are different on The Prophetic Life, yep, deal with it. This is us. And we're very, very, very happy to not be super formal. However, just because we don't take ourselves seriously does not mean that we do not take the things of the Lord incredibly seriously. And here's something serious. God Almighty has healed me of COVID this week, and I'm very, very, very grateful for that. And I also have something very serious I'm going to be sharing with you today. My good friend Christina Koch is about to be joining us. She recently, had not the Lord saved her, if God Almighty had not done that, we would have already had her funeral by now. And we would just went, man, I am missing me some dadgum Christina. Christina is the director of Open Door Counseling, and she holds a master's degree in marriage and family therapy. Wow. Oh, man. Did you know that, man? Did you know that she had a master's degree?
Yes, sir.
She is a published author and a Christian speaker, and she's been in ministry for 30 some odd years. She looks incredibly good for being 90 years old. Wait till you see her. So I actually have her right here with me. Christina Koch, hello, my friend.
Hi there. And yes, I do look good for 93. And I've been in school 125 years, so I must be 93.
Yes, you must be.
Hey, good to see you both today.
Oh, man, we're so glad that you're here. I'm going to let Brother AJ go. And Brother AJ, we'll join you again at the end of this. Okay, man?
Yes, sir.
So I tell you what, before we get off into all this, and friends, we will have a time of questions and answers. So if you have a good question or if you have a good comment or something like that, be prepared to bring that. But she and I are going to speak for about 15 minutes going through this whole scenario of what's just happened with her. And then afterwards, we'll all interact together. Okay?
Sounds good.
So are you about ready, Miss Christina?
I'm ready. Yes.
Okay. Hang on a second. I want to pray. Can I pray for us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So, Father God, I want to lift this up, and I pray, God, in the name of King Jesus, God, that this would absolutely change people's lives, Lord God. And I want to thank you, God, for this incredible testimony, how you have saved my sweet friend's life. And I love you and praise you and thank you for God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, my friends, welcome, guys, to The Prophetic Life and my private community of people that we mentor. And today, man, I am so excited about having my very good friend, somebody that I work with, somebody that I do life with. She and her husband are both a huge part of Open Door Church. Her husband, Scotty, is he's on our security team here at Open Door Church, and he will beat you up. Don't think he won't. He's a nice guy, but he will flat out beat up a guy. And he's part of our security team. Christina Koch is somebody that she has a master's in. What is your master's in?
Marriage and family therapy.
Master's in marriage and family therapy. Did you set out to get a master's in marriage and family therapy?
No, this was a long, long journey. I was years and years way back when I was young, a paramedic, and I wanted to be a doctor. Had no desire to work in counseling at all. And God just shifted gears in my life. And he had to do some things in me to be sane before I could help others, you know, find their supernatural sanity. Oh. But it's all been good. It's all been really good. So one day we'll talk about that as well.
Well, you are a really good counselor. You've actually counseled me, haven't you? I mean, in real
sense. I can neither confirm or deny that.
No, I don't. I'm not ashamed of that at all, man.
I'm glad you're not ashamed. It was a privilege. So, yeah.
Thank you. I'm like, hey, help me with this and help me with that. And I need some tweaking here. And you've actually told me you need to come back. And I'm like, eh, I don't know.
Listen, I know the clients come when they're ready. They just have to be ready to face and then do the work. So,
I just totally, you know how scheduled I am. I'm just have to find a time where I can be committed to the homework that you're going to give me, but I will come back. I sure will. Well, so you actually head up all of the counseling ministry here at Open Door Church. What's that like?
I love it. Actually, we've gone in the past 6 years from just a few staff members on our team to now we have a team of almost over 20. And each year I'm training up more team members. We'll be inviting some other professionals on staff, hoping to be starting next year. We're excited about just plans that God is doing to expand our footprint so that we can reach more hearts for Jesus and see more healing within families, couples, and individuals. So I love it. I love what I do.
Well, I have a good friend of mine named Mark Sharona, and I don't know if you know who Mark Sharona is.
I don't.
But he has a doctor's degree in theology, and he also has a doctor's degree in psychology.
Nice.
And he actually got it from the most liberal college in the world, which is Berkeley. He got his psychology degree from Berkeley, if you can imagine that. Okay. And so, man, he's like out there. Mark Sharona is. And the reason why he got it from Berkeley was because San Francisco in the 1980s was the only major city in the United States that his television show wasn't on. And he didn't want anybody to know him. Huh. And so he did all that. But I love counseling. I love psychology. I love emotional health. I love mental health. And to me, there's not anything taboo about any of that. No. We so embrace your ministry here and so grateful for you. Thank you, Christine.
And one of the biggest things we always do is we invite Jesus. We acknowledge Jesus because he's always in the room. And we just do a work that includes not only mental health, but your spiritual and emotional health. So it all matters. So I love that you support it and that you think it's not taboo. More people need to say that because mental health is just as important as your physical health, and it affects your physical health. So, it's really
well, I'm a pastor, and I know that people are whack. So why would I not?
And you won't come back, but no, I'm teasing.
All right,
Leanna will send you when she knows it's time.
Okay. All right. So listen, God Almighty just did a huge miracle in your life. I heard about a month ago or so that you had COVID. And I think it might have even been like 6 weeks ago. How long ago was that?
It was actually, I was officially diagnosed on December 6th, which I know is your birthday. And then I also knew of an event happening for someone we lost as well in our community. And so it was a tough day to know for sure that's what it was. Because literally a day or two before, I thought I had allergies. I didn't feel bad at all. But by the 6th, literally a few hours later, I was almost on my deathbed. So
well, okay. So, and you already fight some health issues.
I do. And I'm open about those. So I have an immune system disorder is what you can call it. And I'm going to say I had it because after this encounter with Jesus that I'm about to tell you about, I've never been the same. So it's systemic lupus, which affects a lot of things in my body. And when I got COVID, it was wrecking my immune system and then everything that went along with it. So when you're ready, I'll just dive in and tell you what was going on. So
you were already vulnerable. And I mean, I know what a hardworking girl you are. I know how you're an overcomer. And one of the things I love about you is that you make it look super easy to be you. And that's what victorious people do, by the way.
I appreciate that. My husband would probably not agree.
Okay, well.
But I'm telling you, I do keep that chin up when I'm here because I want people to know exactly what Jesus does in your life. And he does make you an overcomer. So I appreciate that you see that in me. I do.
I do see that.
Thank you, sir. And I see that in you too. And you know, that's the thing is we've got it. Like, people are attracted to like-minded people. And that's why I think we work well in this tribe together. And I just know that you have this heart for everyone watching today in our community. So I appreciate you wanting to share what happened. So let me dive right in if you're okay
with
that.
Let's do it. Let's go.
Okay. So just a few days before I was diagnosed with COVID, again, just some simple like allergies, a little sore throat, nothing big. But the next morning when I woke up on the 6th, I just felt like I had the flu. I just didn't feel right. I felt achy and thought, well, I better just go get COVID tested. So I went to a little rapid test site near me and it was positive. So I really didn't have fear. I didn't even have worry. I just thought, okay, well, I need to go home and take care of myself. So I called my family physician and basically told him my symptoms. And he said, well, let's just give you some antibiotics. And I asked him for some other medications that he said wasn't in their protocol. It kind of shocked me because I kind of knew the protocol because your daughter's, you know, been helping frontline doctors. And I just knew other people that had gone through it and did well with the full protocol. Hung up from him, was waiting for my prescription for just some breathing treatments and then a preventative for pneumonia. And within 6 hours, I literally lost the ability to walk. I couldn't breathe. I was hardly able to text my husband. He was just outside working on our property. And I was hardly able to hit the button to tell him I need to go to the hospital. I just got weak very quickly. And by the time he got me in the car, he had to walk me to the car. I was in and out of consciousness. I felt my lungs shutting down because every time I tried to breathe, my hands literally were cramping closed and there was just no circulation. And we got me into the emergency room and they did my vitals, rechecked me for COVID. Just, I guess I want to make sure I wasn't telling a lie, but I sat in a little corridor in the hallway for quite a while, feeling my body declining. It was scary. I wasn't scared, but I felt like I kept saying the words, I need help. And my husband said it was like all you could do to get the words out of your mouth. And I said, it was all I could do to say it. But I was talking to Jesus. I wasn't talking to him. I wasn't talking to anyone around me. I was just calling on him because I knew I was in trouble. I knew I was in big trouble. So about 12 to 24 hours later, they had done as much as they could do without intubating me. And I told them, absolutely not. You have to remember, it was taking the longest breath I could do to say one word. And I remember looking up at the doctor and saying no. And of course, my husband was scared. When the doctor left the room, he just said, don't leave me, which was not my intention at all. That's not why I refused intubation. I just trusted the Lord was going to deliver. I don't know how to explain it other than I knew I was going to be okay. But that's not what happened next. So, any questions about just that episode, Troy, before
I jump
in?
No, you're doing good. You're doing great.
Okay. So when I went home, my husband literally had to carry me up into our bedroom. It's just a couple of steps up into it. And he got me into bed and I had to get pillows behind me because I could not lay down. I couldn't breathe. And even with the breathing treatments and the medication, I found out I had full pneumonia in my right lung and partial left lung, which was why I was literally hearing my chest rattle when I breathe. And so I just kept getting, added treatments, you know, oxygen and all kinds of things that were just, I was just trying to survive, honestly. At the end of the second day, my husband said, if you're not better tomorrow, by the third day, you're going back to the hospital. And I looked at him and said, I'm not. And again, it wasn't defiance. It was just out of knowing. I'd reached out to a family friend who was able to get me with a frontline doctor, and I was able to get more medicine. So at this point, I had IV antibodies for COVID. I had antibiotics on board. I had breathing treatments on board, ivermectin. And at that point, I also had budesonide and another one. I can't remember the name of it, hydrochloroquine. But it took me finding, you know, an ER doctor, my regular doctor, and then another frontline doctor to get all the meds I needed. So by the third day, I remember laying down. I couldn't eat. That was something that was also extremely hard. I couldn't even keep water down. And I told my husband I would just eat ice chips and just make me broth. And I would try to keep swallowing all the vitamins and things that I was on. But in that third day, I remember going to bed and I was getting worse in my breathing, which it did scare me only because I didn't want to fall asleep and not wake up and my husband have to find me in that state. So when I went to bed, I just said, Jesus, at this point, I either need you to completely heal me or take me. And I was in so much pain. I couldn't even pick up my phone. I was so weak. I couldn't put on house shoes. It was to the point where I knew I was about to die. But I still either knew he was going to heal me or take me. So that night, I remember waking up. I was very groggy. It was dark in my room. My husband had come and got his mother's camper to stay on our property because he didn't want to stay in the same house with me because I also told him, I don't want you to get this. I'm so sick. I don't want you around it. We didn't know at that time what variant or anything it was. So as I was groggy and waking up, I felt somebody sit at the side of my bed. Well, I thought my husband was coming in about every hour to check on me. He was fully masked up. He was, you know, trying to do the right thing, washing his hands. And I thought he had sat beside me. It was around 2 a.m. And I just leaned over very quietly and said, honey, you don't need to be in here. I don't want you to get COVID. And again, it was with every ounce of my fiber to say those words. The next thing I hear is a voice, and it's the Lord. And I knew it was the Lord, because it was the most peaceful voice I had ever heard in my life. And as I look over to my left, he's sitting beside the bed. He's looking down at me. And I literally was so close to him, my head hit his chest. And as I laid there and looked up, and he told me, you're going to be okay. Don't be afraid. I just was overwhelmed because at first I wasn't sure, was he coming to get me? But I didn't have any question that I was going to be fine. And to describe him, it is something that I never would imagine in my life I would see, much less encounter him in this presence. It was incredible. I remember his chest being just kind of like this firm. I don't remember hearing a heartbeat, but I don't know why it didn't. But I remember his chest being this kind of like firm young person. When I looked into his eyes, he had the most beautiful crystal clear eyes. They were like a blue that I've never seen in my life, and I can't describe. But his voice was so sweet and so calm and so quiet, and it was just commanding the presence of everything within me to not have to fight anymore, but to be healed. I knew that's what he meant when he said, you're going to be okay. And I felt his arm behind me stroking my head like a loving, gentle father, and I fell asleep in his arms. And the only way I can explain the feeling was this. It was like I wasn't quite here, but I knew I wasn't in heaven. It was the spiritual realm where he came to set me free. He came to redeem me. And I couldn't even get enough breath in my lungs the next day to say the words until later that afternoon. But all day long, I kept thinking, I'm never going to be the same. My pain, by the way, was instantly gone. I had no more pain in my joints. I had no more pain in my head because I'd had a massive headache. My fever was starting to break the next day. I was still needing oxygen for several weeks. But Troy, I'm going to tell you, it was unlike any experience I've ever felt in my life.
Well, that sounds like King Jesus to me. That sounds like. Okay, so let's kind of go back through this, and then I'm going to let people ask us questions. So
yes, absolutely.
So one of the things that's wildly prophetic to me about this is when he first came in the room, you recognized him as your husband.
It was totally dark. I just thought it was someone, you know, I just thought it was my husband coming to sit on the bed, right, to check on me.
But that is so prophetic though, right? Because you are the bride, right? Yes. On.
Yeah, right, like, on.
So you're like, yeah, you recognized, you thought it was your husband. It was your husband. It just wasn't Scotty. Right?
That's right.
It was that's King so Jesus. Good. Right on. Yeah. And that's a really big deal. And then the fact that he sat down on your bed.
Yeah.
Okay. Even if I make my bed in hell, there you are. That's what the Word of God says. That is also a huge prophetic thing. And then he leans you up, correct?
Yes.
Okay. That is also a very, very, very prophetic thing. All right. So what are the words that he said to you?
He told me I was going to be okay, not to be afraid. Mm-hmm. And I do recall thinking, I still am not sure if these were words or if this was a thought in my spirit, but I remember I kept thinking, you're not done. There's more to do. And I just believe that's him imprinting on my heart.
So when Jesus says, do not be afraid, what he's saying is, I am with you. You cannot, you can't separate his manifest presence from not being afraid.
Yes, okay? Absolutely.
That is a really, really, really big. And then in your spirit, you knew other things that he was communicating. He's choosing his words, but he's telling you everything.
Yes.
That's all prophetic. That's all part of prophetic encounter language is what all that is. Okay. So how did it end?
Well, the encounter with him or just COVID in general?
No, the encounter with him.
The encounter with him. I literally was leaning on his chest and just was in this perfect place of peace. And I didn't have any more anxiety. I didn't have fear. And I even told your wife, like, that's a very uncommon thing for me not to have anxiety. I just have always been this heightened person, which is something I had to work on when I was going through school to be a counselor. But it was just so much, it was like it was done. There was no other reason to worry about life. There was no other reason to worry about would I be okay. I mean, I didn't worry about anything. Right. I was off of work for a month. I didn't worry about anything.
Okay, let me backtrack. Let me backtrack before all that. Okay.
Yes.
So the prophetic position of your head being upon his chest, that's the Last Supper.
Oof.
That's where John was. That's where John was, and that's the Last Supper, and that is, and again, John is the one that had the biggest future out of all of them. Every single part of this thing is, if you look at it with the prophetic eye from the outside, looking at it.
Yes. Even he came to visit me on the third day, Pastor. That's one of the things that also just sat with me for days. Yeah. It was the third day. Prophetic.
things rise up. Things rise up on the third day. I love the fact that he actually sat on the bed with you. That's huge. And here's the deal. Most people don't know, like when I had my encounter with Jesus on my deathbed, he also sat down on my bed. He sat down on my bed, but I never knew it was him. I never knew it was him. Mm. I never looked at him. I just didn't. I was so sick and I was so out of my tree. And I thought it was my friend. The way that I perceived him was, this is my friend who came back for me. I thought it was one of the missionaries that had left me. Right.
Yes. Your friend Jesus. That's right. Yeah. That's incredible.
And I'll tell everybody that part here in just a second. But the bottom line is this happened in real time. This physically happened with you.
Yes.
And then you can tell what a tree is by the fruit that it bears. And then the deal is, you got healed.
Absolutely. Actually, you don't know this, but I've been seeing clients since 9 a.m. this morning. I had to take a quick lunch break. I went to go see my heart doctor because there was some stuff in my chest from my lupus and just left over from the COVID. And so he did an echocardiogram last week. He goes, we just want to make sure, because you've had heart problems before with your lupus. And I told him, I don't want to do the test. I'm fine. He goes, we're going to do it anyway. And so he sat down. He goes, there's nothing wrong with you. And I said, I know. I mean, I'm telling you, I feel better than I have in years. And I've worked on a little cabin on our property this weekend, and I pushed the old lady bones a bit, but I still feel good. I mean, you're going to get, I need an oil can here and there, but I'm good. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm looking at comments from people all over the place. People are just so happy. Pastor AJ, I know that you're viewing these things. I'm going to get you on here. Pastor AJ, you have a specific, I like what Jill Jones says right here. She says, look, I'm crying for joy. Just so awesome. Jill Jones Jacobs. She just like Triple J threat. There you go. Right on. So what else? What else do you have, buddy?
There's a question here from Karina. It says, Christina, did Jesus kiss your forehead?
He did not. I literally felt him he lifted me up off my pillow. He stroked my head. I leaned his head on his chest. And that's all I knew, other than him telling me I was going to be okay and not to be afraid. He did not kiss my forehead, but I fell asleep in his arms. I mean, wow. Wow.
Good googly moogly.
Yes.
Man, Christina, the Lord loves you, man.
I believe that. When I was younger, I want your viewers to hear this. I didn't think he did when I was younger. I thought he forgot me many, many times. He didn't. Mm-hmm. And he knew exactly that this day was going to come and that he was going to visit me. I would have never have told you ever in my life that I would think Jesus would visit me. I knew he was with me in my heart, in my spirit. I know him. I've known him since I was very young, but I feel in a way like Mary, why me? But I know why me, because I can sit across from every single client who feels like they have been forgotten, they're alone, they're not going to be healed. And I'm going to tell you right now, he's real and he's here and he hears you. And so if I can say anything to you today, it is that. And every client since I could speak after COVID has known that either through telehealth or they've known it in my office. I will not be silent about his visit. It was real and he healed me. And he'll heal you.
He will. He will. Yeah. Christina, there's people that are commenting on here that they've tested positive this week. They've had a really scary attack come against them, all kinds of stuff. Hey, man, so such as you have, will you give unto the rest of us? And will you please pray for all of us?
Absolutely. And I'm going to tell you in Psalms 32, it says, Lord, I called to you for help and you healed me. And that's exactly what I did. So I am going to pray over you. And I want you to lift your hand to the Lord. Because when you lift your hand, you're giving away all your illness, but your hand is open to receive. So let's do this together. Father God, I just thank you for those who have heard this word today and that they know that you are real. Father, as I was healed by just one word, by your love and your presence, Lord, so your presence is with them. Father, we know that perfect love casts out fear. So for those who are afraid, we ask that your love would embrace them and that they would encounter your presence right now. Just call his name. Just call his name, Jesus. Ask that you would heal me. And he's already there. Father, we know that this is a struggle. We know that it is coming against our very fibers as Christians who love you. But you are stronger than COVID. You are the overcomer. You are the great physician. So as I am giving and imparting unto you. Thank you, Father, that you're healing those who cannot breathe. Let their lungs be opened up by your mighty name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for the fevers that are breaking off in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for those who are feeling like they're on their deathbed, but they're going to rise again and their glory is going to be their story because they're going to be telling about you, Father, and what you've done for them. We love you and we ask for provision in all ways, from the very top of their head to the inner parts of their bone marrow to the bottoms of their feet. Father, we claim your healing and your love and that no fear will come on them because they are sitting with you and you are residing with them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord. Love you, King Jesus.
From the very beginning, the Lord has called our tribe to be the hands and the feet of King Jesus to the poor and to the world's most vulnerable. We have been demonstrating the heart of the Lord in at least 53 nations throughout the world by building nearly 100 water wells, schools and homes for orphans, leprosy villages in India, and even now we are feeding more than 3,000 people every single week right here in the United States through our local food banks. Several years ago, we built a massive effort to save boys and girls from the terrors of sexual slavery. You know, the number of redeemed children is now in the thousands, thousands of kids rescued, and those numbers are growing every single day. When you partner with Troy Brewer Ministries, not only are you helping me preach the gospel, but you're actually helping me demonstrate it through selfless acts of redemption and also helping us see a little boy or a little girl saved in every way that a child can be saved. We know we can't do it alone, so we're asking you to prayerfully consider being a part of our tribe. When you call us today or when you go to troybrewer.com and once you partner with us, not only will you receive the blessing of God for this great kingdom effort, but you will also receive free access to our video teaching platform at troybrewer.tv. It's video on demand, point, click, and have your life change. It's all of my school of ministry, all of my school of prophecy, all of my videos called Numbers That Preach, all of my pulpit teaching, and even all of my conferences with guests from all over the planet Earth. This is our free gift to all of our monthly partners, and I encourage you to take advantage of it. Go to troybrewer.com and partner with us today.
You know what, Christina? There are actually people that are giving testimonies saying, hey, that just since that they've heard your testimony, that they've been healed of something.
Come on, Jesus.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's him.
It is him.
Yes.
It is him.
Yes.
Christina, how do people get a hold of you if people want to contact you, or how does that work?
Okay, so if you're needing counseling, or we have a life coaching team as well, you can get on Open Door, opendoorexperience.com, and there is a counseling link. You can also go to Christina Kalk, that's C-A-L-K Ministries, and you can either donate to our ministry or you can request an appointment there, and we will do everything we can to see you locally. If you're out of state, we want to impress on you to go see a Christian psychiatrist, a Christian counselor, psychologist. Get in the Word. Don't just look for your mental health. Look for your spiritual and emotional healing as well. So there you are. Okay.
Yes, sir. Christina, that rocked my world. And I'm so glad, man, that you're still with us and you just didn't kill over dead.
I am too. You too, brother. I was praying for you this week too.
I could tell. I want to tell you, this is something interesting, just how the devil will use different things to, you know, so let me just kind of just tell you this. I graduated from a little Christian school, and way back in 1985, that was when I graduated high school. Man. I know, I am old, man. So news flash, right?
Continue. I'm sorry. No, it's okay. You'll have to know we're also like brother and sister. We just banter.
All do this. This is part of working with me. So, with all that said, man, there was only three of us from this little Baptist school that I graduated from. And both of the two other guys that I graduated high school with died of COVID on January 1st of this year.
Wow.
On January the 2nd is when I got sick.
Wow.
And I was like, my two friends just died. And I was like, what kind of conclusion? Like, what the heck? Okay.
Yes.
I want to tell you, I tell people, you better own the conclusions that you come to in the midst of all kinds of information.
That's good.
And I'm like, it doesn't have anything to do with me. I'm a prophetic guy, and I'm all about prophetic markers, and I'm all about seeing certain things. Mm-hmm. Here's what I've determined. If I do not know the right way to think about something, I just refuse to think about it. And I will think upon the things that I do know the right way to think about. I figure out a way to think about that. Like, okay, I can't visit that right now because I'm sick, and I will be vulnerable to come into certain conclusions that Jesus is not in on that. I will visit that later. That's what I'm going to do.
And that's so good. And I want to speak to that, because Troy, there are people that have called me, and we've done telehealth because they couldn't get up here, you know, to see me in my office. And one of the things I've heard, it's been a common theme. I wanted to take my life, and I didn't believe that God loved me. And so I want you to understand, when that's your mindset, that's the enemy winning. Now, I know some of you have already lost people to COVID, and I understand that's a heartache that is really hard to wrap your mind around. But this is why we must tell each other about Jesus, because sometimes God heals us on this side of earth. Sometimes our healing comes when we wake up in heaven and we've been redeemed and restored there. So don't mourn for them who knew Jesus. It's that we don't want people to leave this earth who didn't know Jesus. And Amen. So, Troy, I love that you're saying that mindset matters. It truly does.
The crown that has come with the coronavirus has been anxiety and depression and hopelessness.
Yes, absolutely.
And I want to just tell you, it is so important to the enemy that we are demoralized. So important to the plans of the enemy that we are totally demoralized and off the rails with hopelessness. Yes. And so having defiant hope and finding the skill sets for that, and just go, every time I think about this or go that, I go into a depression or I have tremendous anxiety. I'm sorry, but I just refuse to go there. There's certain parts of town that I live that right here in Burleson that if I go there, I'm liable to get into trouble.
Yes.
Like, what parts of town? Oh, I know those parts of town.
Your environment matters. Yes.
Yeah, exactly right. Mm-hmm. So I just don't go there. And so I was being like force fed and choked to death on Monday of last week when I felt so sick and was mourning the death of my two friends that I graduated high school with, where I'm the last man standing. Sure. And all these things were all hitting me. And then I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And I just went, hold on just a second, cowboy. This is not how this is going to go. Mm. I'm going to meet the Lord in a different place, and I'll mourn later.
Yeah,
that's what I'll do. I'll mourn later. Today is not the day I'm going to mourn. Today is the day that I'm going to celebrate King Jesus, and I'm going to get my hope on. I'm going to get my praise on. I'm going to latch on to my to my promises. And I mean, I've been walking this walk since 86 and I still had a hard time with it on Monday.
Sure. And that's reality. Yes,
it is. It is reality. And I want to tell you, imagine, Christina, all the people that are brand new in the Lord that are just now walking with Jesus and this unbelievable demon that is behind all this sickness is attacking people, demoralizing them.
Yes.
You know, we all had a good friend of ours who has a six-year-old child, killed herself, ended her life just like three weeks ago. Or
it's heartbreaking. Yes.
And just like, oh my gosh, she got caught on a bad day. You know, she got caught on a bad day.
Absolutely.
And she didn't have the support she needed. She wasn't in a place. You cannot let yourself get in that place.
Yeah. Yeah. We call that in my line of work a negative narrative. And whenever you're focusing on that mental environment and you're allowing that to have space in your head, I tell my clients, switch it off and turn on the light. And the light is the word of God. And the light is finding something positive in that negative, because we can sit and we can be depressed by convincing ourselves there's nothing good for us in this life. There's everything has happened to us is bad and we must have deserved it. I mean, we can just sit in that negative narrative. But you know, Jesus tells us to come to me, all who are weary and weak. When you're weary and weak in your mind, he will transform your mind. He will renew it. He knew exactly how our brains were developed. And one time I'll come on here and talk about the brain, but it's incredible. He developed it to heal. He knew it would be wounded because we're in life, we're human, but he developed it to have a way to heal. And you have to remember that when you go after the goodness of the Lord, he is the healer. He is the truth. He's going to heal. And it may take some time. It may not be instant. And that's the thing people get upset sometimes. They're like, I prayed for my healing. I prayed for 50 years to be delivered of lupus. I mean, I'm telling you, I'm sitting here knowing that God is setting me free. And just because I have a little ache and a bump in the road doesn't mean that I'm not free. It means I'm human. And I'm going to face days that aren't always easy. But I'm telling you, you have to change your mindset and believe him. His word is truth. When you partner with the enemy, you're going to believe it. So don't partner with the wrong side.
Yeah, that's a good word.
Yes.
Christina Koch, thank you so much for joining me today. You know what? I'll have you back on again next month. Will you join me again?
Yes, sir. I'd be delighted
to. We'll spend some time talking about our brains and talking about how we think. We'll mentor people through some specific things.
Yes.
Right on. And hey, man, it's a joy to partner with you and it's a joy to do life with you and love you. I love your husband. I'm grateful for you and thank you for coming on here and for sharing your testimony.
We love you too. And you're so welcome. Bye, guys. It was great to see you today.
God bless you, Christina. Wow. Pastor AJ, what'd you think about that, man?
Dude, that's an awesome, awesome encounter, bro. What a testimony. Like,
King Jesus come bouncing up in her room, bro. And she's like, oh, that's my husband. He says, yeah, it's me. It's not Scotty, but it's your husband. Let me get in this bed of affliction with you and let me just own it. And let me sit. That's a whole nother thing too. To sit with the Lord is a whole nother thing. And then for him to actually let her look into his face. And she was so blown away with his eyes. Okay, well, in that position, you're called the apple of his eye. When you're looking into his eyes, you're called the apple of his eye within that position. The whole thing of he brushed her hair and told her she's going to be okay. And then she put her head up against his chest. Yeah, that's Brother John is what that is. That's the spirit of revelation. That's apocalypse. That's ta-da, Jesus showing up. Right. That's who does that. And so anyway, all that speaks of John, which is crazy cool. And it's so funny because, you know, Jesus is so funny. He actually spread a worldwide false rumor about John and let everybody think that he wasn't going to die. And Jesus thought it was hilarious. I'm just going to start a bad rumor. I know Jesus starts bad rumors. Jesus is the one who started that bad rumor. Jesus did that. And then John tries to explain. He didn't actually say I wasn't going to die. He just said, even if I don't want him to die is what he actually said. But now these jokers think I ain't going to die. And I'm old and I'm ready to go home. I will certainly, I think, die. You know, there's actually people who think that John never died. I mean, they think that he lives in a cave like in India or something. I'm not making this up. I'm not. Anyway, guys, that is outstanding. And that I'm looking over here Allison says, thank you so much, Christina. Allison is my good friend up in big time Canada, man. Yeah. There she is right there. She's cool, man. She's always on here too. So many people are saying thank you. So many people are talking about how much they love this. Again, we've already been talking about people who have been saying, hey, you know what? I've been healed since we started this thing. That's really, really, really good. I want to just encourage everybody too and say this to do not, all of us in here, every single one of us are vulnerable to depression, vulnerable to anxiety. Do you see how when I'm talking to people or whatever, I'm always having fun? That's an intentional posture because my head is full of so much horror and filth and awareness of all kinds of crap that is just so terrible. Well, why is that? Because we're involved in saving boys and girls out of sexual trafficking, and they're not coming out of beautiful environments, and they're telling us what is happening, and then we're having to fight governments of the world because of that. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And then we have this little thing that kills most people, and it's called church leadership. And it's like the easiest thing we deal with is church leadership. And it's like, and it kills most people.
Yeah,
it literally kills most people. And no, we're not involved in anything easy at all. We're involved in very, very, very difficult things. And so I just choose, and I learned this from my bride, Leanna, I can choose to be happy. And I mean, she flat out will not let me not be happy. She just won't let me. And, you know, she'll just tell me, Mr. Sour Grapes, you're not going to be unhappy today. That's not going to work for me. It's not going to work for you. We're going to be happy today. I'm like, Leanna, God almighty, I got all this stuff, man. This. And she's like, I do too. I have all the same stuff and I'm happy and you're going to be happy. Yeah. She'll outright tell me, it's not fair for you to live with me and me decide to be happy if you're not going to decide to be happy. How does that work? I'm like, oh, King Jesus, how do you argue with this woman, man?
Oh, my God. Nuts,
man. Like, well, I'm a dude. I'm supposed to be able to freak out a little bit. She's like, no. That's what little boys do. You're a grown man. I'm not attracted to little boys. Sorry, I don't like that. I mean, she talks to me like that.
Oh my God.
Yeah, you need a mean wife like me. She'll straighten you out. Anyway, the bottom line is we can decide to be happy. And
yep.
I can tell if I'm starting to slip off into something, I can tell. I can feel it. All right. No. I'm not going to go there. I'm just not. So Miss Jane Justice Park. Man, that she sounds like some chick in a novel, man. Jane Justice Park. Yeah. Marvel hero. Yeah. She obviously has a superpower.
I think she's an actress.
You think so, man?
No, I think I know so. I think she came out in some movies or something like that.
Hey Jane, are you that girl that's from Los Angeles, that's a big part of us, and you're the actress chick? I think that you might be right. I've always valued your transparency, encouraging us so much. This was a powerful session. You blessed. You're bouncing back in divine health. I needed to be reminded to keep standing for my healing. Hey Jane, don't give up, Ladybug. Don't give up. Don't give up. New name with new identity. Yes, that's her. You're right, man. Hey, Jane, we bless you. We know who you are, man. We know who you are. And by the way, one of my favorite songs from the 1970s by why can't I think of the name of that band? Starship by Jefferson Starship. Thank you very much, Jane. Yeah, Craig Jacquizzo playing lead guitar. Yeah. Y'all don't know the song, Jane? Jane. Jane, you're playing a game. All right. So I used to sing that song. I learned how to play guitar playing that song over and over and over again. My wife's middle name is Jane. So I was singing to Leanna years and years and years before I ever knew her. Jane by Jefferson Starship. Lead guitarist Craig Jacquizzo. So there you go. Yes. And thank you for praying for me. God saved me from heart cancer. Yep. Yep. I love you and honor you. Jane, we love you. And your heart is loved by the Lord. And you shall live and not die and declare the testimonies of the Most High God. You are precious and the world is a better place because you're here, Jane. Yeah, you're not going anywhere yet. You got too much stuff to do. We just speak strength on you in the name of King Jesus and just declare total restoration of all that has been stolen from you in the name of King Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, sir, for doing a great work in our friend Jane. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Amen.
Okay, right on. Okay, so Jane's like, I will look up that song. Yeah, you'll see, man. It's got a great lead in it. It's got a great, great, great lead in it. All right. Well, friends, that's all the time that I have for today. This has been so good. Thank you to my good friend, Miss Christina Koch, for joining me here today. All right. I'm going to let you go. I love you, man. Call you blessed. All right. So, AJ, are you ready, man?
Yes, sir.
You're so not going to do it.
I got you. In 3, 2, 1.